Amen. Amen. All right. Tonight, you see, I made the correction. It's the Church of the Redeemer is African Heritage Month, Black History Month. We talked about we started with Black History Week. Now we're at Black History Month. And it's one of my dreams, desires, and goals that we will always celebrate our history and that we just won't be limited to the second month in February. I pray that we will always seek to mention the individuals that we don't know so that we'll keep learning. There's nothing wrong with Frederick Douglass and so forth, but there's so much history that we have that we can share. Amen? Last week, we looked at Joseph, the great-grandson of Abraham. And y'all familiar with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, Joseph was Jacob's son. So Joseph comes from a good line. That introduction or that greeting, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, very significant because it reminds you of the early patriarchs of Judaism, which really set the stage for Christianity. And then we looked at Joe, and I hope somebody had a chance to read Genesis. I just skimmed the surface and picked out, I think it was about 8 or 9 lessons that we can learn from his life. But it's good to realize and recognize that individuals in the Bible were what we call hematic. In other words, they had color. Hematic individuals are individuals that come out of the line of Ham. So we know Ham had color. Ham was in Africa. So that's what we wanted to teach about Joseph and his family. Amen. Let's pray real quick and we'll get started. Father, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. God, I need you to illuminate this lesson. Father, I need you to just consecrate the teacher. And Father, I need to see the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that you would move in a mighty way. God, if you would just anoint this time we spend together, and we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. And all God's people said, amen. 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 All right. Tonight, if it moves, there we go. Tonight, I want to talk or deal with the thought of how did Christianity get to Africa. The reason I want to do that is there's a myth, a lie, an untruth that we as Africans were only exposed to Christianity in America by the master. That's a lie. We were involved with Christianity from the very beginning. Why is that important? It's important because I have never, ever, ever in my time in South Philly seen so many people dressed in Muslim garb in my life. Never seen it. And one of the reasons is because they don't know that Christianity is not a white man's religion. See, with the millennials and the Generation X and individuals that are younger than we are, because we basically listened to our parents, although we did our own thing, we still listen. But the generation behind us, they don't listen. And they think that they're searching for the truth. And what they see is that, or what we represent, is not the truth. But we have the truth. And it's so important that we share the truth with them. It's always good, and I always call opening or talking from an open Bible. You don't have to believe me. Let's open God's word. Let's see what God's word have to say. Now, just a quick note and I want to move. Muhammad, is 500 years after Christ. You need to know that. So for them to say they have the truth, that's in error. Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we can go to the book. But let's get to the lesson. How did Christianity get to Africa? Well, there are three documented ways that Christianity arrived in Africa. Now, I know you know your Old Testament, and the Old Testament starts with Judaism. And then it's the New Testament that brings about Christianity. You with me? So we showed the African presence in the Old Testament. So tonight I want to show the African presence in the New Testament. The three ways, documented ways, that Christianity got to Africa. The first way is by Simon of Cyrene. Y'all remember him, right? Simon of Cyrene. See, Cyrene is a city in North Africa. I think a couple years ago on Heritage Sunday, I preached about that, how to carry your cross. See, Simon of Cyrene, Cyrene is a city in North Africa. So Simon is a black man. So when Simon went to Jerusalem, and remember I talked about it, why did they pick Simon out of the crowd? Was it because he had a baggy Gucci robe? Was it because he was the only one with the gaiters? Did they know he, you understand what I'm saying? Simon, a black man, helped Jesus carry the cross. So after he was in Jerusalem and helped Jesus carry the cross, he was a witness to what took place in Jerusalem. And what would happen during those times, if you could, you would make the pilgrimage to the city of Jerusalem during the holy days or the festivals. For Jesus Christ himself was in Jerusalem for the Passover. You with me? So after the Passover, Simon went back to Africa with the good news. That's one way, documented way, that Christianity arrived in Africa. The second way that Christianity arrived in Africa is by Mark, the gospel writer. Mark, the gospel writer, was born in Africa. And after he was in Jerusalem and Rome, he went back to Alexandria, Africa. And we did Mark during the summer. And we traced Mark's life. And we even traced Mark's life through the scripture. Mark, the first gospel writer, was black. So he went back and established, I think, close to 70 churches in North Africa. There's statues, there's monuments to Mark. All right? He actually died in Alexandria. Alexandria at the time was an awesome city. It was the city that had the first library, right? The city that had, let me see if I can make it contemporary for you. It was almost like the Harlem Renaissance. In other words, the best musicians were there. The best scientists were there. The best thinkers were there. That's us. So people would come. You know how they would go up to Harlem and hang out with us? They would come to Alexandria, all right? So my source for tonight is the Bible. And I'm going to use the African Heritage Study Bible because I want to look at the text through an Afrocentric lens. You with me? The third way, which we're going to talk about tonight, how Christianity arrived in Africa. I wanted to show you this real quick. That says Ethiopia, and that's Ethiopian Jews. And if you can see, they look like us. Hollywood wants you to think that Jews are pale. Jews look like this. You with me? All right, so I wanted to plant that seed. Here we go. So tonight, I'm in the book of Acts. And I'm going to be looking at Acts 26 to 40. Now, this is one of my favorite texts. And the reason it's one of my favorite texts is for 17 years, I was an ordained deacon in the black church. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but that means something to me. Or ordained deacon in the church. So this particular scripture, for so many years, I've always focused on Deacon Philip in the text. Always focused on Deacon Philip. When I would do deacon workshops or deacon trainings, or Deacon Philip was one of the models that I modeled. And I did that primarily because so many people model after Deacon Stephen, who was stoned to death. But Philip never received the light. But tonight, I don't want to focus on Philip. I'll talk about Philip a little bit. But I want to talk about the Ethiopian eunuch that's in the text. You with me? Now, can you see that? I had to search so hard to find a picture that properly shows what how he rolled. You with me? He's got a posse. You see that? That's the first before Jay-Z and all them. You got to see how he rolled. He's sitting. And if I use my spiritual imagination, it's like he had a limousine with a driver. Now watch this. During those times, people walked wherever you had to go. Or you caught a boat or a ship. You did a lot of walking. You with me in Acts 8:26? All right. Maybe could you read verse 26 for me?
Sure. I'm reading from the ESV version. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place."
It's already 7:20. I'm going to have to sift gear. All right. So, first thing, set the text up. Now, I know y'all read Acts chapter 8, right? But permit me, if you will, just to give you a quick summary. Can I do that? All right. So we know that when Jesus died, he gave the Great Commission. And he told them, "Go ye therefore and preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize." We know that, right? Well, I'm one of them now, so I better be tread lightly. But the church leaders, they stayed in Jerusalem. It was the deacons that went out. And Deacon Philip went to Samaria. Y'all know Samaria, right? With the half Jews, and it was a hard place to preach. But Deacon Philip went to Samaria, and he preached an awesome revival. I'm talking about he preached. He preached so good. You with me? It's in the text. You got to see it. That Peter and John in Jerusalem, that word got back. They got a preaching deacon in Samaria. That Peter and John came to Samaria to see what was going on. You with me? It's in the text. So now we get to verse 26. Now, here's one of the things real quick that I had admired about Deacon Philip. Because if I was a deacon and I preach like that, y'all got to give me my license. y'all got to make me lead assistant pastor or something. But he didn't do that. He stayed in tune with the Lord. And he shows us that God will give you directions that don't make sense. Now watch this. Can you imagine the high that he was on when he preached the revival? Now we get to verse 26, and God says, go down to the wilderness. How many of us would have? Well, you ain't got raised. You ain't got raised your hand. But he shows us to be obedient to what God says, even when it don't make sense. Can you imagine that? You just turned the city of Samaria upside down. And God, this is how you reward me. So Philip teaches us, first of all, humility. Because he realizes it's not about him. Whatever his assignment is, he's willing to accept it so that God gets the glory. Philip teaches us to always be in tune to what God is saying and always allow God to lead us. And he lets us know that there will be times where God's instructions don't make sense. It don't make sense. And he lets us know regardless, we got to obey. So we'll go from the city to the wilderness. Would you read 27?
29. Okay. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot.
Amen. See that? All right, I'm going to unpack it. Ethiopia is where? It's in Africa. Now, let me share this with you. When we look at Africa today, we see a country of Ethiopia. You with me? But in biblical times, the whole continent of Africa was referred to as Ethiopia, except for the region of Egypt. You got me? So when he says Ethiopian, he's saying that it's dark. You got me? The other term that refers to dark people is the word Cush. Right? Cush means burnt face. So the Cushites, I like to say, were people with tans. You got me? So right now we know we are dealing with a brother. African. Can't write us out the book. Can't write us out. Now watch this. It says that he was a eunuch. You see that? Eunuch is a word with multiple definitions, primarily two definitions. One definition of a eunuch would be a person that was castrated. That's one definition. The other definition of a eunuch is of a royal official. You follow me? So when you're interpreting the Bible, the definition that you use, you make sure it fits the context of the text that you're studying. You with me so far? So in the context of the text that we're studying, we know this brother was somebody, right? The NIV says he was an important official. The King James says he was of great authority. And the New Revised Standard says he was a court official. So he was somebody. Now, European scholars would want to throw in he was castrated. No, that's not the meaning of the text. That's not the context. They want to take away from the brother. The brother was somebody. Now, the text says he was in charge of the queen's treasury. That's what the text say? Can I break it down? The brother was a CFO. CFO wasn't no average ordinary brother. They would like for you to think that people in Africa swung from trees. Half dressed. I know he had to have purple royal silk. Well, you had to see the other one. I know he was sharp. Now watch this. Gubits want to know, why was the brother there? You with me? That's why we got to study, dig deeper, and really get into it. In the Old Testament, the Queen of Sheba and King Solomon, right? They developed trade agreements. You with me? So they had a merger going on. So the eunuch was going to Jerusalem to collect the money from the trade. You see that? Now the text says, Candace, the queen. Y'all see that? Hope you got your Bible. Now, Candace was not the name of the queen. You with me? In other words, Candace was a title for the queens of Ethiopia. In other words, Caesar is the name of the Rome emperor. Pharaoh is the name of the king of Egypt. Candace is the name of the queen from Ethiopia. You got me? All right. Now, watch this. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. You got me? So the earlier picture, he had to be an Ethiopian Jew. You with me so far? Now, there are scholars that would want to say that he wasn't a Jew because they don't want us in their history. You with me so far? If he wasn't a Jew, then he would be the first Gentile convert. You see that? But what scholars give you for the first Gentile convert is who? That's all right, Cornelius. You're just going to skip over us. Like we don't even count. But do you see how God works? Let me see if I can break it down for you. Book of Acts, I know you read it. God works in order. So first God goes to the Jewish people. He said, wait in this upper room. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Then God goes to Samaria through Deacon Philip. And we are blessed in that. And then he goes to the Gentiles. You see that? So God works in order. Now this guy. I'm not sure how much you read, baby, but we're going to go with the lesson. He was returning home. The text say that, don't it? Verse 28. Going back to Africa. Now, did you say anything about the scroll, reading the scroll? Stopped at 29? Okay.
And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Okay. Verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading?
Perfect. All right. Now, don't miss this. The Bible says he was reading. Right? So he wasn't illiterate. Wasn't illiterate. He was reading what? Now watch this. During that time, you didn't own your own scroll of scripture unless you had money. See, the average person The only way you're going to hear the word is you got to go in the synagogue and sit down and listen. This brother owned his own scroll of scripture. I'm trying to tell you, he was somebody. He wasn't no average, ordinary brother. Now watch this. Watch this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Scripture was written in what language? Hebrew, right? And Greek. You see that? Let me put it together for you. The brother was bilingual or multilingual. I'm just trying to tell you about us in the book, who we are, what it represents. Now, watch this. The brother is sitting. Philip is walking. Walking. Philip comes up, and Philip sees him reading Isaiah. Start.
Okay. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth."
Amen. So here's what he shows us. That regardless of his stature, you with me? To always remain teachable. Always remain teachable. Here's what else he teaches us. It's okay to read God's word and have questions. It's okay. You're not going to read it and understand. I read it and have questions. So Philip says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Right? Truth be told, a lot of times we don't understand what we're reading. What he's reading is the book of Isaiah, or the scroll of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is what we call a messianic prophet. And the reason we call Isaiah a messianic prophet is because Isaiah foretells of the coming of Christ. I believe it's Isaiah 6 or 8 where he says, "Unto us a child is born." So where the Ethiopian eunuch is reading, he's reading Isaiah 53. I know y'all knew that. Verses 7 and 8. Are you able to grab that? Well, no, it's the same. Where it talks about he was silent as a sheep. So now watch this. The eunuch is smart enough to know, or at least sense, is Isaiah talking about himself, or he's talking about the Messiah that's to come. So his question is valid. He wants to know, who is he talking about? Now, what happens is he begins in Philip. This is what I love.
Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Continue. Okay.
Philip preached to him about Jesus. Y'all didn't get it. Philip preached to him about Jesus. Y'all still didn't get it. All right. Philip didn't preach to him about his pastor. You should have been there. My pastor, He didn't preach about it. Philip didn't preach to him. Oh, we got a slamming choir. You should have been. Nah. Philip preached Jesus, which is the gospel. Now, when he preached Jesus, he preached Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And he began to talk about how Jesus died for our sins. You with me? Because we know this because of the way the rest of the pericope, or the rest of the text, let me use regular words, plays itself out. So let's read 36 and 37.
And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him.
See that? See, he preached Jesus, and he got saved. So once he got saved, the next thing to do is to be baptized. So the text gives us the order that we're saved first, then we're baptized. Now watch this. The eunuch says, "What does hinder me from being baptized?" You read that?
And he commanded, And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Praise God. So, what we see, right, is that God used this black individual or this African individual to give us a pictorial illustration of baptism. Now, in the Greek, the word baptism means to dip or immerse. That's why as baptisms, we dip you in the pool, immerse you in the pool. Baptism, and it shows it right here in this verse, baptism doesn't save you. See, he was already saved when he accepted Christ. Baptism is symbolic. It's a representation of our faith in Jesus Christ. And what the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to do was do a public demonstration of his faith in Jesus Christ by being baptized. You see, here's what happens. When we go down in the water, that's immersion. When we're under the water, that's submersion. And when we come out of the water, that's immersion. You with me? So it symbolizes Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So when we go down in the water, it symbolizes his death. When we stay under the water, it symbolizes his burial. When we come out of the water, it symbolizes his resurrection. That's why Paul could say in Romans that we walk in the newness of life. See, baptism is also symbolic of this, that the old man gets buried, and it's a new man in Christ that emerges. And God used an African eunuch to illustrate to us this truth. Amen? Any questions? All right. So next week we're going to talk about the color of Christ. And color of Christ. And it's... I'm excited about it. Yes, ma'am. Inmerge, immerse, submerge, and then emerge. Yes. Thank you so much. Sometimes I go fast. Yes, sir. The third was the Ethiopian eunuch. Tonight's lesson. Thank you. So the eunuch went on his way back to Africa and spread the word. Those are the three documented ways that Christianity. And there's a word they use, it's called Coptic churches. And those are the black churches that began in Africa. So your Coptic churches in Africa are some of the oldest churches that are available. Coptic, C-O-P-T-I-C. All right. Okay. Egypt as well. They had a terrorist not too long ago about the Coptic churches. Yes. All right. Any other questions? Praise God. Yeah. Oh, yes, ma'am. That's a good question. Let me see how long I want to be with that one. What's the difference? All right. The Coptic churches, right? The Christian churches in Africa are the churches that are closest to what Christ preached and teached. Let's see if I can tell you what I mean by that. The churches that we have here in America, right? They have a European flavor or European twist, shall I say? You with me? In other words, in Europe around the 16th century, you had the Reformation. But the Reformation never happened in Africa. See, in Africa, we were always true to God's word. Now, the only thing we may have done is whoever the emperor was, if the emperor was Muslim in Africa, then he may have made everyone else practice Islam. But if the emperor was Christian, he makes everybody practice Christianity. So there'll be times you'll have a country switch religions. That's the only thing you'll get in Africa. But in Europe, when you had the Reformation, you had, shall we say, somehow the color of Jesus changed? How's that? Okay. Yes. True. Okay, we're in the next week's lesson, but that's all. I can handle it. See, in order for me to enslave you, I need you to know that God looks like me. All right. You got it. All right. We don't want to mess with next week's lesson too much now. All right. We'll close out in prayer. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. Lord, we thank you for letting us know our presence that's in the scripture. We thank you, Lord, for how you let us know, God, the truth of your word. God, we thank you for these individuals that pressed their way out this evening. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless them and bless their household. Lord, we want to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for you are truly a great God. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As customary, we don't want to assume that everybody's saved, and I believe I know everybody. I don't want to assume, but I do want to open the doors of the church. Amen. Is there one? And let's do something different during this time period. Is that okay? Let us just pray for our family members that are not saved. How's that? All right. Father, we pray for those, God, that are in our family that do not know you in the pardon of their sins. Lord, we pray that our light will shine, that they would see our good works, and that they would come and we would be able to draw them to you, Father. Lord, we pray, God, you would touch their hearts in such a way, God, that they would realize and cry out for you. And God, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And as customary, we'll end with an offering because we can't be God-given no matter how hard we try. And thank y'all very much. I appreciate you pressing that. It's definitely blessed my soul. Amen.